being able to go in, start from scratch and build something, and then seeing it come, like seeing that you IPO, like we were at the New York Stock Exchange and watching that whole process was just unbelievable.
Hello and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the platform that brings financial reporting, ESG, audit, and risk teams together to help you provide assured, integrated reporting.
You can use it at a private company, you can use it at a public company, from near to far, from here to there, you can use it everywhere.
Catherine, I am loving the Dr. Seuss vibe, and I'm kind of freaking out right now that you just came up with that on the spot. My name is Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado, looking forward to debiting a great conversation, and I'm so happy to have you with us. Joining me, as always, is Catherine Tsai, but also Mike Gravano. Catherine, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm not an accountant or Diet Coke aficionado, but I like venti soy chais and learning new things, so that's why I'm here.
And I am a recovering Cherry Coke addict and an off-the-books producer, and I cooked up this miniseries, which is why I'm here. We're calling this the IPO Chronicles. This week there will be two episodes, and then every once in a while we'll dive back into the IPO Chronicles to tell you, lovely listeners, the story of a person and how they went through their IPO journeys.
And we have a really good person to kick things off with. It's Nancy Golombeski. She is the controller of Duolingo.
Which I got to tell you was super awesome because we are like a Duolingo super user family. I believe we have like the enterprise license. We got competitions. We got streaks. We got all kinds of stuff going on with Duolingo.
That's awesome. Can I join? Because I do it like I'll have like a 100-day streak and then I fall off and disappear for years now. I've used Duolingo for years and I'll do really well. I think my top streak was like 500 days. And then once that goes away, you're like, what does anything matter anymore? So I'm going to adopt myself into your family so I can join these competitions for motivation.
Well, you know what? I love it. And speaking of streaks, Nancy, our guest, actually has a pretty impressive streak herself with helping companies go public.
Nancy worked on her first IPO or initial public offering at Evoqua Water Technologies. That's where she was the senior manager of technical accounting and SEC reporting. And then she helped take Duolingo public.
Yeah, and it's pretty remarkable. I think you see people who have those kind of like stints in their career that end up building on to the next one. Nancy has certainly been the case there. And what I love about what she's going to share with us is just the journey, the considerations she had from her team, things they were thinking about for like ERP and other technology. She certainly brings up Workiva, which is also cool. She gets into controls. I mean, she does it all.
And she mentioned her first IPO was within a year of her joining Evoqua. Which is seems surprising. Seems like you. I don't know. That to me, that's even more impressive. That you like. You need to know everything about the company before taking public. In my mind.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's listen in to what Nancy told you about her very first IPO.
I mean, it was incredible. I really enjoyed it. I liked the ability to go into a company that was not public and wasn't even doing financial statements. They were doing bank statements every quarter, but not like full-blown out quarterly GAAP financial statements with an MD&A and everything that goes along with that. So I got to build those out. We got to like build out the processes to get the team up and running and, you know, go through the audits and have clean audits. So it was fun. And at the same time, they just kept acquiring companies. So It was an awesome experience. Like I learned so much working there.
You mentioned fun. What made it fun for you?
I really like accounting. I don't know how many people can actually say that, but I love accounting. I always feel like it's like a puzzle when in the end all the pieces have to fit together. But I just enjoy it. So being able to go in, start from scratch and build something and then seeing it come like seeing that you IPO, like we were at the New York Stock Exchange and watching that whole process was just unbelievable.
Well, Nancy, you're in safe company here. I describe myself often as an accounting enthusiast. So I equally share that love of accounting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Can you tell us a little more about what that preparation process was like? And actually one question that just popped into my head as you were describing what it was like that first company, how much changed from when you walked in, you know, on day one to when, you know, the IPO is finished and then you've actually completed your first, you know, 10Q or 10K. I mean, is this like 100%? Is like 50%? I mean, it just, you know, the magnitude of the change that you're describing is significant. I've done IPO prep work myself and have also been a part of an IPO. And so I'm just curious, like from your standpoint, how much changed from the, you know, that very first day to, yeah, maybe when you got that first Q-K out the door?
A lot. So I started in February 2016, and within a month, we acquired two companies. One of them was actually subsequently determined to be significant in terms of needing to disclose it. But also just like they were doing financial statements every quarter for the bank. So they were very limited. So like actually building out the full financial statements, which for us was building out the S-1. It was amazing watching how like February of 16, like I was handed this like 10-page document. And then we ended up like feeding that into like this 100-some page S-1 that had like all this information, walked through the company. Like I said, the acquisition, so we had to do the pro forma statements. They had a lot of debt, so like feeding all the debt into that and the new debt that was coming with the acquisitions. So like not only was the accounting changes and we were, you know, going through the full-blown public company audit is much different than, you know, an annual financial statement if you're non-public. So making sure that like all the numbers were correct, just going through the entire audit and making sure that like the allowances, all the reserves were correct. In addition to that, Evoqua was pretty much a newer company. They had just been acquired. It used to be part of Siemens, and then AEA had acquired the water side of that. So it had been spun off, which for that, like to have to try and go back and like piece all that together and make sure that we could support all of that. Even like equity, like tracking down the number of shares and all of that was just it was a lot of work. It was a crazy process, but it was like, I loved it. I love seeing it all come together.
What was your role there?
I started out as the accounting manager. So I had about four people reporting to me, but we were responsible for all of the, we were responsible for the accounting, you know, the journal entries, closing the books every month. I had an equivalent in, she was like the shared service center. So she was accounts receivable. And then we had somebody in accounts payable, but that was my role, and then pulling all the financial statements together. And I reported to the controller, who I'd actually worked for twice before. So we had a great relationship. In addition to that, we also had to do like the acquisitions, getting the beginning balance for the acquisitions, doing the roll forward, making sure that like we could disclose quarterly the impact from the acquisitions. So
what happened to the size of the overall accounting team? I mean, did it just absolutely explode, or were you guys able to kind of contain the headcount growth?
No, you could contain the headcount growth in corporate accounting. I mean, we did hire, I'd say we hired two people. We hired one person because the new revenue recognition policy was coming out. So he had actually started right after we IPO'd, and his responsibility when we started was just to implement the new ASC 606 for revenue recognition, which for Evoqua was a lot of work because a lot of our revenue came from contracts. So over time, used to be percentage of completion, now I think it's just over time. And then we hired somebody who was focused on the SEC reporting.
And I wanted to ask you a little bit about the day of pricing and the day you actually went public. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was just like an amazing, I almost want to say like vacation. It was awesome. My manager had a much different time because since we weren't using Workiva, she was actually sitting in the attorney's office with, you know, we were using PwC as consultants, and she's sitting with them. And when they got the final pricing, like feeding it through the document, pushing it back to, I think they were using R.R. Donnelly, checking all the changes, like that whole process. I know she was out till like 1 a.m. Meanwhile, I was like, went and had a nice dinner, got a good night's sleep, got up the next morning, went to New York Stock Exchange. Like, it was amazing. And then just watching them ring the bell and like set the price.
Or were you standing on the floor watching them ring the bell, or where did you get to be? Oh, cool.
Yeah, and my husband was with me. Yeah, it was great. They had all of the executive leadership and their direct reports, and then I was able to go, just given my involvement in actually creating the S1, I got to be part of it.
That's such a fabulous experience, and to hear you describe it. And it's just like this like rush and wave of emotion. It's like all of that work and just like, you know, finally, like here we are, we've reached this massive moment. And looking back, any advice that you would give to companies on just lessons that you learned during that first IPO and perhaps subsequent things that you've observed since that wasn't your first and only rodeo?
Yeah. I would say first, use Workiva. When I went to Duolingo and we were talking about like S1, what are we going to do? I was like, we have to use Workiva, because that process of like you would get an email and it was a PDF, and then you'd have to go through and do a page turn. And then we'd say, well, we made this change to the balance sheet. Where is this in the document? And like marking it up, scanning it back, waiting for the pages to come back, doing this check. Like it was crazy. Like, thinking about the fact that there's this technology out there that you could link everything. So if you made a late entry or you had to change a number, it just all flowed through. Like, it's crazy to think that we were doing this in Word. Even like the tables, they were not Excel tables that had all the functions in them that you were copied in. Like, it was a table in Word that you had to like manually make sure that you were footing down. Like, that whole process just was not fun. Business-wise, I'd say, you know, what I learned at Evoqua, like, we had started going through our process and we'd started looking at controls, but I think a lot of companies tend to think, well, you know, you don't have to be SOX compliant till like you're a year public, because like the rules. So they kind of push that off and think, let's just get public and then we'll worry about it. But you're better off to get all your controls lined up ahead of time, because then you can identify if there's any issues and you can either disclose them, which a lot of companies do disclose, like a mere material weakness or like in their S1, and they're like, hey, we did the work, we identified what problems we have and we're going to fix it. Whereas if you wait, like, not only do you have your first year being public and now you're like required to do all your filings, you're also like trying to get the company ready to really be public and put all these processes in place. So that, you know, getting the mindset to the entire company, not just the accounting department, not just the finance department, but the entire company, that you're going to be public, and then making sure that you have, even if you don't have all the controls in place, making sure that you've at least done that, like identifying your issues and going through and doing like a risk assessment and seeing where you have gaps. Like, I strongly recommend doing that before you even start talking about doing an S1.
What advice do you have for companies or your peers to help make that point to other people in the company?
I mean, you could benchmark and like look at other companies that went public and disclosed a material weakness and then years later fixed it, versus companies that like IPO and then a year or two later identify that they have all these gaps, and like look and see what happens to the stock price. Like, it's almost like the proof is right there. Like,
good old peer pressure.
But I mean, I think in general, like, being public is not like, it's the entire company is now public and the entire company now has to start changing all our processes. So I think people are like really excited and like, we did it, we're public, it's great. But then all the work sets in, and like, I just think doing it ahead of time with the, we want to go public, and if we want to be a public company, we have to have all these processes in place, is much easier than, oh shoot, we are public, and now we have to hurry up and do this.
Well, would you tie those two things together? I mean, all of the process stuff that you were just talking about, plus the comment about technology, which, by the way, thank you, we appreciate I am myself a practitioner of kind of old world SEC reporting and, you know, new world SEC reporting. So I definitely feel you checking in changes. It's a little bit like tracking my kids to see if they actually did their chores at the end of the day. It's like I know I told you to do this. Did you go back? You know, that's almost like the hardest part. But do you tie those two things together to say, look, if you're considering an IPO, this really needs to be a broader conversation of technology, of process. We can't just do everything we can to just barely get ourselves across the finish line and then address that because of the risks.
Yeah. I mean, even like if you just talk about Workiva, so we IPO'd November of 2017 and we were a 9/30 year end. So, you know, the final S-1 is issued and then we had a month to get the, we had 1 month to get the 10K out. So, I mean, and again, we're doing all of that in Word. And so, like, first, when you do the S-1, like, you, most companies flip the order to where the S-1, they want to show, like, the growth. So they do the earlier years followed by the, like, the current years. But then whenever you do your public filings, most companies do it backwards. So they show the current first and then the prior year. So, like, even that, you're trying to do all of that in Word. Whereas if you have in Workiva, it's just a simple switch. Like, it's so easy to do, and it's all in there, and your prior periods are all in there for linking. But, like, other technology, too. Like, if you don't have an ERP system that's going to be able to give you accurate data, like, you no longer have a year. You don't have, like, the, we can take our time, like, we want to IPO, but we can take our time getting all the numbers right, because now all of a sudden you have the SEC filing deadlines that you have to follow, so, and the auditors have to sign off on it.
Wow, so much killer information from Nancy. Steve, in your experience, how does that jive with IPOing?
Jives 100%, and IPOing might be the new verb of the day. I think what's interesting there is exactly the point that she brought up, which is just the time that you want to be able to tell the story. I mean, I've helped a few companies try to go public, was successful in one case where I actually did IPO. It was such a mad rush. It was such a mad rush to collect the data, get the narrative put together, get it out to all the people who wanted to review it and weigh in on it, that you really felt like, man, am I thinking about this enough? Do I have all the right information in there? Am I telling the right story? I mean, that just requires time and that requires thought. And what I loved about what Nancy shared was just the impact that a good process enabled by good technology and the right team can give you the time for that kind of thought process, but ultimately give you the confidence that you need for that kind of a filing. I mean, this is like high profile and in many cases, career defining stuff.
Well, speaking of high profile, I really want to hear her story about taking Duolingo public.
Well, I think we need to take a break, marinate on what we learned today, and come back tomorrow to hear about the Duolingo IPO journey.
Well, I think that is an excellent plan. Huge thanks to Nancy for part one of this discussion, and huge thanks to you, dear listener, for surfing along with us. As always, thanks to Catherine Tsai and Mike Gravano. This has been Off the Books, presented by Workiva, and we'll be back tomorrow to hear more about Nancy's journey.
Please subscribe, leave a review, tell your buddies if you like the show, sound off in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, and feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.